Welcome to part two of our seminar on the subject of the fruit of the Holy Spirit from Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. In part one of this seminar, we saw that Jesus clearly tells us in his word that you can tell what kind of a tree you're looking at by the kind of fruit that tree bears. Then, applying that analogy to us, we saw that Jesus is telling us that you can tell what kind of a Christian a person really is by the kind of spiritual fruit that is being produced in their life. We looked closely at what it means to bear fruit and how fruit is actually born on a tree. We looked at how important it is that we as the branches are connected to Jesus the vine, so that the right nutrients can come to us and from the vine feed us and thereby enable us as the branches to produce the kind of fruit that God would like us to produce in our lives and in our ministries for Him. We then went on to take a close look at the first four fruit of the Holy Spirit that are mentioned in Galatians chapter 5. Those are love, joy, peace, and patience. In part two of this seminar, we will take a look at the last five fruit that are mentioned in Galatians 5, and we will begin with the first of those fruit, which is the fruit of kindness. The Greek word here that is used for kindness is krastos, and it means pleasant or worthy, or even sometimes it gets translated as goodness. In one version of the Bible called the Reims Version, 2 Corinthians 6, verse 6, has the word kindness translated as sweetness. So to be kind to someone is also to be sweet to them. They should look at us and what we are doing as a sweet fruit that is being born in our lives toward them. This word also gets translated as easy to wear. In Matthew 11, verse 29, we see Jesus saying, "Take my yoke upon you." He says, "My yoke is kind, if you will," but it's translated easy to wear with regard to the yoke Jesus speaks about here. He means it is easy to put on and to wear. His yoke is easy on us, and it is a good fit for us. It is a good thing for us. So when Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you," the word he uses is kindness that was translated in a different way, meaning easy to wear. So when we are kind to someone else, that kindness that we have toward him or her is also easy for them to wear and something that they should be able to welcome from us. So when we are kind to someone, we are pleasant, we are good, we are even easy to wear. We are reputable and loving and benevolent. Kindness is something that the Holy Spirit can give to us to be able to give to other people from the Holy Spirit. Kindness is special and ministers to the depths of people's souls. In Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50, we see the story of the woman who anointed Jesus' feet with oil. We see the reaction of those around them. The Pharisees were very upset that Jesus let such a woman as this even come near him and do such a thing. They treated her with legalism and self-righteousness and judgment. Yet Jesus treated her with kindness and with a loving worthiness that he poured out on her. She anointed his feet with oil, and he anointed her with kindness. It was a kindness that changed her life and set her free in his grace. It was easy for her to wear, if you will. So kindness is something that we can even pour onto other people and anoint them with in a way that changes their lives. It means even more if they are in a situation where everyone else is pouring self-righteousness and judgmentalism and legalism on them. The kindness that comes from the Holy Spirit in us can be a life-changing thing for people. It is something that Christ expects us to pour out generally and generously on other people, and that is a good witness. The kindness that he has shown to us is something that he expects us to show to others. The next fruit of the Spirit that we can look at together is the fruit called goodness. The word in the Greek that is translated goodness is agathosune. Interestingly enough, as one scholar points out, it is a particularly biblical word and does not occur in secular Greek. What the Greek word refers to is that quality which is found in a person who is ruled by goodness and aims always at what is good and what represents the highest moral and ethical values in everything that they do. Let me share some scriptural examples with you for the use of this word. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, we read these words. To this end, we always pray for you, that God may make you worthy of his call, and may fulfill every good resolve and work of faith by his power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. We have another example in Ephesians 5, verse 9, where we see these words, For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. Then in Romans 15, verse 14, we hear the Apostle Paul say these words, I myself am satisfied about you, my brethren, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to instruct one another. What a wonderful compliment from the Apostle Paul to the church in Rome, saying that the Christians there are full of goodness. They are full of God's desire for them to be a blessing and to be righteous and to be holy and to be virtuous and to have integrity and honesty in their lives. It is a goodness that seeks out another person and is poured out upon them in the form of a blessing. Yet there is a difference between kindness and goodness, because goodness in the Greek is something that can also have a wider meaning. The wider meaning can be good, but can also include a rebuke for doing something wrong. In other words, you can be good to a person by pointing out to them something that they are doing wrong. Doing a good thing can also include a side that lends toward correction. For instance, when Jesus went to the temple, he was upset by the money changers. He did something specific, and he turned the tables upside down, and he drove the money changers out. What he did there wasn't a mean or bad thing, it was a good thing, and it would fall under this same fruit of the Spirit called goodness. However, even though it was good, it also had an element of rebuke and correction in it. Moreover, just because we do something good doesn't mean that it's going to be received as good by other people. Yet we must still do those things that are good in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. On the other hand, the fruit of the Holy Spirit called kindness that we just talked about is just that. It's simply kind. It doesn't have a correcting or rebuking side to it. One person put it this way, when Jesus went and overturned the tables, he was doing a good thing that had rebuking in it. But when he dealt with the woman who poured the oil over his feet, he was simply being kind to her. There was nothing to rebuke and nothing to correct. So kindness and goodness are very similar, but the goodness part can go beyond just a blessing to a correction or to a rebuke, which in fact is also a blessing. In the language of Scripture, the word good means to be like God. Goodness is love in action. It's far more than just being good. It's being good on purpose, with a purpose, to first please the Lord and then to serve others in the goodness of his love. The next fruit of the Holy Spirit we will look at together is called faithfulness. The word in the Greek is pistis, and it is translated faithfulness or perhaps fidelity. It also carries the meaning of being trustworthy and or reliable. How important it is in our world today to have those kinds of qualities in our lives as Christians. How wonderful it is to be faithful and to have a sense of fidelity. It is also important that as Christians we are faithful and reliable in the eyes of others. What a witness it is to have the good fruit of faithfulness coming forth from our lives. So often today in the world, we hear about the opposite of faithfulness. We hear about unfaithfulness and untrustworthiness and unreliable people all the time. It is so good to have the fruit of faithfulness to share with the world. It allows people to trust us. It allows people to see that what we do has integrity and that our love for the Lord is based on His faithfulness to us, which is endless. We read time and time again in the Scriptures that God's faithfulness endures forever. He is always faithful to us, even when we are unfaithful to Him. God keeps His promises to His people, even when His people break their promises to Him. God's faithfulness endures forever. It is always trustworthy. It is always reliable. And that is what He would like us to have in our relationships with other people. He desires us to be trustworthy and reliable towards others in a way that allows them to see the Savior through us. However, it seems that there is something deeper that we must consider here when it comes to faithfulness. The reason is that even non-Christians can be faithful. Non-Christians can be trustworthy and reliable in their relationships with people. There are unbelievers who are reliable and have integrity in their lives. That tells us that the fruit of the Holy Spirit called faithfulness must be something a bit more than the average type of faithfulness. If even non-believers have some faithfulness and integrity, that means that the faithfulness and integrity of God must be something different. I would suggest to you that what is being spoken of here is a faithfulness and a fidelity to our own God and to our own Christian faith as well. There is a difference between having faith in God, for instance, and being faithful then to the calling that He has upon us as Christians. Some people may have faith that God exists, but they may be unfaithful to His call in their lives. The kind of faithfulness that comes from God's Holy Spirit enables us to continue to be faithful to our testimony and to be faithful to our commitment and to our calling in Christ. It enables us to be faithful to the commands of Christ. So having the spiritual fruit of faithfulness is vital both to our having the right kinds of relationships with people and also to being faithful and trustworthy toward our Savior and His call to us to be the light of the world, to be different, to be Christians in this world. What a powerful and positive witness to the world we have when we can be seen as being faithful both to each other and faithful to our God. The next fruit of the Spirit that we will study together from Galatians 5 is called gentleness. The Greek word that gets translated here has three basic meanings. It means being submissive to the will of God. It also means being teachable and not too proud to learn. However, most of the time, it means being gentle, courteous, and humble. Sometimes getting a good picture of what something is can be done by looking at its opposite. In this case, the opposite of gentleness would be a person who was harsh or rude. It would be a person who was discourteous and who was not humble, but who was proud and arrogant. An image that can be used to describe this kind of gentleness might be that of a wild horse who has been tamed and who has become gentle after being wild and out of control. A wild spirit that has come under control is the kind of gentleness that is being spoken of here. It has to do with the change that has taken place from being wild to being humble and gentle. One of the best examples of this in the Scriptures might be that of the Apostle Peter. We see in Scripture that he was not always the most humble person. He was very angry at times and prone even to violence, as we see in the Garden of Gethsemane. When the soldiers came to arrest Jesus, it was Peter who erupted in anger and violence and drew his sword and cut off one of the centurion's ears. We also see shortly thereafter how in anger and disgust he totally denied the Lord three times. At another point earlier in their ministry together, Peter asked a key question of Jesus. He asked Jesus how many times he had to forgive someone who had done something to him. It seemed as though Peter had reached his limit with somebody and was looking for a way to ignore that person instead of forgiving them. Yet, after the resurrection, and the indwelling fullness of the Holy Spirit coming into Peter, we see Peter change and become a new man. He wasn't a man of irrational emotions anymore, but a man of great wisdom and gentleness. He was a man who came under control like a wild horse that had been tamed. What a difference we see in Peter's life once the Holy Spirit came into his life and began to produce good fruit in his ministry. He even becomes one through whom God himself chooses to write down his holy word. When something is out of control, it can do so much damage. But when it's brought under control and becomes harnessed, if you will, it can bring tremendous blessing to that same situation. For instance, if a river is out of control and raging over its banks, it can do so much damage. Yet, if it is brought within its bounds and controlled and is harnessed, it can produce power and electricity that can make a difference for millions of people. In another example, a fire that is raging out of control can do so much damage. Yet a fire that is under control can be contained in something called a furnace and can heat an entire building. It can be used to cook in a stove. So a fire out of control causes damage, while a fire under control and harnessed can do so many good things and be such a blessing to so many people. So let us pray for the gentleness that comes from the Holy Spirit so we can be Christians who are under control, who are gentle with other people. Let us be a people who act toward others in a spirit of gentleness so that others can see that we are a people who are bringing them the fruit of gentleness, the love of God, drawing them again closer to the Savior who has come to save their souls. The fruit of the Holy Spirit, called self-control, is the last in the list from Scripture. It comes from the Greek word meaning strong and having mastery and ability to control one's actions. Being the sinners that we are, it is very important that we have some kind of an ability inside of us which controls us, which enables us to control ourselves and to abstain from doing the things that are sinful and which cause a bad witness to others. Certainly that isn't going to come out of our own spirit. It has to come from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit promises to give us that control through the fruit of self-control. I like what one person said when they said it is the virtue which makes a man so master of himself that he's fit to be the servant of others. It is so vital for us as Christians to be able to control ourselves, to control our actions, and to control our emotions. The world is constantly looking at us, and they are often the first ones to point out our mistakes when we make them. They see us as being Christians who claim to be under control, yet when we make mistakes and sin, they are the first ones to point to us and say that we are hypocrites. Let's face it, all of us are tempted to sin, and when we are tempted to sin, we have to have something inside of us that enables us to control our actions so that we stay away from that sin. Certainly none of us is perfect, none of us is sinless. Certainly we can do much better when we are under control of the Holy Spirit, and that is what we should be praying for so that the self-control that comes from God would be very evident in our lives on a daily basis. We see in James, for instance, how the tongue is like a little spark of fire that can start a great blaze. Our tongue has to be under control. That kind of control comes from the power of the Holy Spirit teaching us how to control our words and how to control our emotions and how to control our actions. We have to be a people who are under control of God's love and His grace. The fruit of the Holy Spirit of self-control is absolutely essential. As Christians, we must be under control of the Holy Spirit of God, or we are going to be under control of the devil himself. We must be willing to have our emotions and our actions under the control of the Holy Spirit. God says that He will give us the fruit of self-control as we allow Him to do so. We should allow Him to do so every day. So we have now looked at each of the nine fruit of the Holy Spirit. We have studied the wonderful fruit that God would like to bear in our lives so that other people will see it and be drawn to the Savior. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit that will allow us to give a good witness to Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. We can see clearly from the Scriptures that this fruit is given to us and is produced in our lives as we are connected to the vine of Christ. The more we are connected to Christ, the more fruit can be born in our lives. As I said in the beginning of this seminar, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, all nine of them, are for all Christians to have and to use in their lives as Christians. We should desire this and pray for this and allow for the Holy Spirit to produce this precious fruit in our lives every day. We should never forget that if the fruit of the Holy Spirit is absent in our lives, it indicates that there is a problem with our connection to the vine, and we should look closely at what our life is producing and perhaps how our connection to the vine can become better so that our fruit will be stronger, more mature, and sweeter for those that we minister to in the world all the time. I would like to thank you for taking the time to study the fruit of the Holy Spirit, because it is so important that we as Christians are producing this fruit in our lives. It is seen by others. It draws others to the Savior, and that is our purpose. It ministers to other people and is seen by other people. And if we are like a fruit tree for God, people can look at the fruit of our lives and say, "Look, taste, and see how good the Lord really is." The fruit of the Holy Spirit being born in our lives and in our ministries will definitely draw others closer to Christ. May that be what happens as all of us pray for and are open to the power of the Holy Spirit in us, producing the fruit of the Holy Spirit through us. Then we can be the kind of Christians that God desires us to be, and the kind of Christians which honor the Lord. Thank you so much for taking the time to share in this seminar with us. As always, if you have any questions, feel free to contact me via email at pastorjohn@integrity.com. That's pastorjohn@integrity.com. And I will be happy to answer any questions you might have. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make His face to shine upon you. And may the blessing of the fruit of the Holy Spirit be produced in your life and in your ministry. Amen.